What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in today. My name's Kent Swanson. I'm the lead film and draft analyst for Arrowhead Pride, and you are listening to the first ever episode of the AP Laboratory. We're recording from the basement of Arrowhead Pride headquarters. This is where myself, Craig Stout, and Matt Lane all meet to talk about what we're seeing on film from last week's game and then looking forward to next week's game. Obviously, there wasn't a game last week. We're heading into week one, so we'll be looking ahead to the Chargers a little bit. We'll be talking about the 53-man roster, and we actually asked you all to give us your questions. So we'll be doing all of that today. This is just kind of an introduction. We want to let you guys get to know us a little bit, know what kind of the plan is for this show. But what we're going to do is every Wednesday you're going to have a new episode. Gives us a little bit of time to look at what we saw on tape from the previous game, give you a little teaser for the stuff that we'll be writing about on Arrowhead Pride that week, and then also kind of looking forward ahead to the next opponent. So you're kind of going to get the best of both worlds, looking behind and looking ahead. And we're really excited about this. This is something we've been trying to kind of get organized for a while. And I'm really excited to be doing it with a couple of my good pals that, you know, are on the Arrowhead Pride team, where, you know, you're really what you're getting is you're getting to see a little bit of the behind the scenes conversations that me and Matt and Craig have. Anyways, we're always talking about ball. We're talking about the Chiefs, and from roster construction to play styles to concepts to schemes to you name it. I mean, we're talking about everything. And so now you're just kind of going to get a little bit of those conversations from us. And actually today we've got a couple of big announcements that we're going to be making. You're going to hear about every single piece of work that you're going to get from the Arrowhead Pride Nerd Squad. I'm going to tell you all the articles that you're going to be getting during the regular season. Craig's going to tell you all the articles you're going to be getting from him during the regular season, and the same for Matt. So we're really excited to get this thing going. We'll bring on Matt Lane and Craig shortly, and both of them will come on here with me here in a little bit. First thing first, let me just kind of give you an idea of the articles that I'll be writing every week. If you've been paying attention to what we've had on Arrowhead Pride, you've probably seen a little bit of the work that I plan on doing for Patrick Mahomes this week. Every week. I'm going to be the Patrick Mahomes film analyst this year, and you're going to get three different articles from me every single week. You're going to get something good and something bad in the first one. Basically, it's just kind of an overview of what Patrick Mahomes did that week, just getting a high-level good and bad play. The next day, you're going to get something smart and something special. And that's kind of my favorite article every week, because we kind of get to see what's going on with the mental process of the young quarterback, and also just kind of get to talk about his rare abilities and his traits that, you know, not very many people in the NFL have. And then we're going to talk about his growth and development. So something that needs to be improved and something that he's improving on. So you're going to get three distinct articles with three kind of different focal points. One just kind of an overview. One kind of talking about the things to be optimistic about. And then one talking about the growth of the young quarterback. And then also back this year will be 45 seconds, where we break down one play a week. That's going to be back again as it was last year. We've got a couple different spins that we'll be kind of letting you know about here in the future. Be on the lookout for those. We've got some things that we have not ever done here at Arrowhead Pride, and I can't wait for you guys to see what we've got planned with those. And I'll give Craig and Matt both a chance to kind of talk a little bit about what their plans are for their content during the year. But I can tell you this, we have more film analysis than I think we've ever had on the site, and it's coming from angles that haven't been covered yet. And Matt and Craig are a big piece of that. They've got some new and exciting ways to kind of break down film that I can't wait for you guys to see. And let's just bring Matt Lane in right now. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Ken. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, my man. I'm excited to be getting this thing going, getting this podcast going. One thing I wanted to ask you before we jumped into anything, how did you learn about the game of football? Just kind of give some people a little bit of background of, you know, what has driven you to learn a lot about this game and eventually write about it.
I mean, like most people that kind of follow football, I played it when I was younger, you know, started with some fullback and linebacker, working into the trenches after that as I got older. My dad actually played a little college ball back in the Midwest, and my grandpa, from all the tall tales that I hear, was quite great at some backyard football, just never really had a chance to play. So I guess just it's kind of a genes thing, and I was pretty good at it, so I went through with it. Once I was done, I decided, I still kind of like football more than even playing, just reading about it. So I just spent all my spare time watching film and articles that I bother you guys with over and over again.
And oh, that's yeah, where no, we are. Like I get all kinds of articles from Match Quarters from you like all the time. I love it. I mean, I'm trying to pick up as much as I can. Like, there's so much stuff out there. Like, this is the golden era for people to learn about the game of football, I think.
Right. So confirmed first guest is Cody Alexander from Match Quarters.
Oh, that'd be great. I love that idea.
Great. Let's get on it. Send that to Pete.
I bet you like half the people are like, who's Cody Alexander? And that's just because we're giant nerds. We're just giant football nerds.
Absolutely.
Matt, okay, so I wanted to ask you, just kind of leading up into week one, can you give me one offensive and one defensive player that you're most interested in watching week one?
All right, I got you. With defense, it's Chris Jones for me. I mean, he's pretty much on the cusp of being the best player on this defense, so I really just want to see what kind of step he's taken now. There was some rumors that he may have been a little out of shape last year, and he still was dominant for stretches. So I can't wait to see what a more explosive and a little bit leaner, more motivated Chris Jones looks like. And I think this kind of first week is really a chance for him to tee off against a better but still relatively young interior Chargers line. And then on offense, it's got to be Sammy Watkins. He kind of started off with the bang in training camp, slowed down towards the end. You've kind of mentioned that you think his hip might have been bothering him a little bit before, and we're not real sure. I'm interested to see what his usage is. We've heard so far that we've seen like 25% of the Chiefs' offense. People need to make a bigger deal about that, in my opinion. But I just want to see what they have in store for Sammy Watkins kind of as the season goes on.
You're going with the terrestrial solar being or whatever. Like we,
oh yeah, Lizard King.
We call him the Lizard King around here. But yeah, no, that's awesome, man. I'll give you the defensive guy. I'll probably just save the offensive guy for Craig. I'm looking at Kendall Fuller. I am so excited about this dude. Like he is like slowly climbing up my list of favorite Chiefs. Like he hasn't even played an official game yet.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
It's just like when he came on and when we traded for him and all that, just like when you go watch his tape, like you can just tell like he's so prepared. Like that's just something like when you can tell a kid understands like route concepts and knows where to go and is like aggressively pursuing the break of the route because he knows what the route is. Like I just love that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of geeked out about Kendall Fuller. Oh,
definitely. He's kind of what is a new age corner now, and it's kind of been a shift. This is what everybody looked for back in the early 2000s, but now everybody kind of moved on to the big physical corners with length, and you're starting to see these Casey Haywards and Kendall Fullers come back around where it's guys that are just super prepared with quick feet that read routes really well, and like you're starting to see more of those guys come back, and they might not be as flashy as some of those big tall corners, but they're playing just as well if not better, and it's just awesome to see that kind of person come back around. But here's one for you. Did you know Kendall Fuller smiled at Craig during training camp?
I heard a rumor about that. I don't know if I was at that practice. Was I on Sunday, that one Sunday you guys were there?
I believe it was Sunday. Nobody else actually saw it, so it's a little questionable.
I'm gonna have to ask him about that sometime. Maybe I'll ask him if I can remember when we bring him on. Okay, so I was going to ask you about the biggest roster surprise, but I kind of want to call an audible real quick because we've been talking so much about Cameron Irving in our group thread. What do you think about Kendall or about Cameron Irvin re-signing to a 2-year extension on top of his deal?
I mean, I guess this can file right into the biggest roster surprise. Here's a guy that lost his starting left guard job to an undrafted rookie of last year that just came onto the team in what, November or December, and Andrew Wiley, who it looks good, but still he's young, and Irving loses that spot. He then turns around and loses his backup or third string center job, depending on where he is in line with Devy now that he's not a starter. And then the Chiefs reward him with a pretty solid contract to be a swing tackle. And he hasn't played swing tackle for the Chiefs at all.
Just, yeah.
It's a strange move. I'm not sure I follow the logic right now, but I mean, hey, we're going to give Veach a chance. It's just, it seems a lot like the Ja Reed move, and we were told that was a Dorsey kind of thing, and now we're starting to see history repeat itself a little bit.
Oh, Ja 2.0. That might be something that sticks if he doesn't play well this year.
Right.
Okay, Matt, real quick, can you just tell me like what your article plans are, like what articles you're planning on writing for AP during the season?
Yeah, absolutely. So early in the week, kind of all 22 comes out Tuesday morning, so I should get to start digging in pretty early. So either Tuesday evening, night, maybe Wednesday morning at the latest, we're going to have a film review up. And I mean, I'm not sure who it's going to be about yet. I don't want to have a set schedule or anything, but we're just going to watch the game, see who really sticks out positively or negatively. I'm not afraid to go into the negative if I feel like it cost the Chiefs some points in the game. So we'll give you a film review early on in the week, and then starting something new, I'm doing an advanced scouting series with Arrowhead Pride. So we're going to look forward to the game coming up ahead of time. So like this week, we're going to have one on the Chargers. It's a little hard for the first week of the season, but going forward, we'll just watch the last game that the upcoming opponent played and just look for tendencies and things that we can do on our offense to attack their defense. Not really charting personnel or anything like that, just kind of looking for specific matchups or ways offenses had success attacking them, and just kind of give a little hint to something people can watch out for in the upcoming game.
Man, I'm geeked out about that. That's Matt Lane. Thanks for joining us here, man. And we'll bring Craig on here in a little bit and do a little mailbag. How about that?
Oh, that sounds great. Let's get to some questions.
All right, now we're going to bring on the defensive film analyst for Arrowhead Pride. I guess he's kind of like the prodigal son, because he was on Arrowhead Pride before like me and Matt were even born. And now he's back with us as part of the Nerd Squad. It's Craig Stout. What's going on, my man?
Hey, pretty good, Kent. It's a good thing that we're not on video right now. I don't think I could handle staring at your hair for this entire segment. Couldn't contain myself.
I don't understand how my hair is a bit on this.
It's not a bit, Kent.
Show.
It's not a bit.
Y'all have no idea. Like, my hair right now is like all over the place. I've needed a haircut for like 3 weeks.
Don't cut that hair. If you cut that hair, you're gonna take its magic away, Kent.
I'm just gonna trim it down a little bit. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay, Craig, so you are a brewer, you're an engineer, you are the tech support for the Nerd Squad, like telling us how to make this possible. Like, you're a lot of different things, but you've also like learned a ton about the game of football. Like, how did you, like, what was your, like, how did you learn about this, about the game of football?
Well, it started when I was really young. My grandfather was a DB coach for a small high school football team. And so I kind of grew up around some of the X's and O's part of it. But it really started when I joined AP back in about 2009, and I started writing for them in about 2010 when the Chiefs made the switch to the 3-4, and there was a lot of questions on the website about, you know, what's the 3-4 actually entail? How is it different than what we've been running? And at that time, there wasn't a whole lot of knowledge out there, so I started researching, you know, reading as much as I could from former coaches, watching film sessions, watching breakdowns and things like that, trying to get myself up to the point where I could learn and explain it to people. And so I became kind of this guy that wrote for the site about the defense, because I just wanted to soak everything in like a sponge.
Craig, I was in college in 2009, just so you know. Not to make you feel older.
I'm but, ancient.
You are. You really are. And I'll just, I'm going to just pat you on the back, because I know you're like terrible at doing that to yourself. What you wrote about pattern matching earlier this summer was one of the best pieces I've ever read. And I still like, it's incredible. Like, I could not tackle that subject, and you killed it, dude.
Well, thanks, man. I get a lot of help from you guys. You know, Matt is constantly posting stuff for match quarters in our group, you know, when we're in the lab and doing all this stuff. So I'm still learning all the time. So I can kind of translate from a lower level of football knowledge to one of a higher one, because I am kind of in that in-between spot.
Maddie, and I think I promoted match quarters earlier today, so I guess like maybe we should just get them to sponsor the show.
Yeah, yeah, we should.
Because, like,
we
they're
should.
Just getting plugs all over the place. Okay, let's talk a little bit about just kind of what, like, give me one player, or you could do offense or defense. Matt did offense or defense. Give me an offensive or defensive player that you're looking forward to watching in week one.
Well, I got to start with defense since that's my forte here, but I'm going with Anthony Hitchens. Kendall Fuller maybe was the biggest signing this offseason on that side of the ball, you know, from a, you know, we traded for him, but biggest acquisition. But Anthony Hitchens, I think, might make the biggest absolute impact on this team. Lining up the front seven, stopping the run, being able to cover tight ends and running backs, I think he's going to offer something from that inside linebacker position that we haven't seen in years. And that's coming from arguably the biggest Derek Johnson fan ever. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Didn't Derek Johnson play? I mean, actually, it was the shell of Derek Johnson last year, unfortunately.
Let's just be honest with ourselves. It made me sad.
Do you have an offensive guy?
Yeah, actually. I'm going a deep cut on this one. I want to see Alex Ellis. I want to see what this guy can offer. You know, he's going to get the shot to be the second tight end. The Chiefs are going to use him here week one. I really think that he showed well in preseason. You know, everybody kind of penciled in Jason Morrow's name as tight end three here leading up to the season. Alex Ellis just came in and stole that spot from him entirely. So I'm really looking forward to seeing if he can make an impact and stick around on this roster for the entire season.
I'm with you on that one, man. Whenever we were out there at training camp, Alex Ellis was the guy that stood out to me. Like, he was definitely, like, he was better than Jay Samara when I was out at camp. I'm totally with you there. And it'd be really interesting. Like, the Chiefs used a lot of three tight end sets last year, and, like, they love to throw out of three tight end sets, actually. Like, that's one of the things that I picked up on when I was charting last year for Arrowhead Pride. Like, their pass to run splits in 13 personnel was like very heavy pass. So that's a guy I'm all in on. I gave Matt one of my defensive guys. It was Kendall Fuller. My offensive guy that I'm kind of looking forward to most is Damian Williams, just because I think they have a clear path and role for him. He's going to be their third down guy. And I really like some of the stuff that they've been doing with him in the backfield. So I'm really curious to see kind of how he performs too. Do you have any Damian Williams takes for me, Craig?
I think he's going to be fantastic. I honestly think that that he will have some games that he will easily outsnap Kareem Hunt and Spencer Ware there. He will get a lot of run with the Chiefs. I'm saying 40 balls, 40 catches.
Woo! I could see it. I could see it. How about give me a roster surprise, like, from, you know, the 53-man just happened a couple days ago. Do you have any, like, a surprise from the roster?
Well, we're going to pour one out for your boy and my boy, Arian Springs, here. I think we all thought that the Chiefs were going to keep six corners. And so when the news came out on Saturday that the Chiefs had cut Arian Springs, I think every single one of us had just naturally assumed that David Amerson was sticking around. Well, when he didn't, then it got really confusing as to why they didn't keep that sixth corner and keep Arian Springs. I think that guy can play football. I would have kept him on my 53.
Yeah, you already know what I feel about Arian Springs. Like, when we were out there first couple preseason or practices at training camp, like, he was a guy that was correcting people, you know, correcting alignment, communicating everything. Like, he just knew what was happening. It was so fun to watch. He's not the greatest athlete.
No, but he understands where everything's supposed to go and the route distribution and everything. Just a fundamental understanding. Yes.
Right. I'm dead on with you there, man. One more thing I just wanted to ask you. We're all kind of revealing our content plans for the season. Me and Matt have kind of already revealed what we're going to be talking about. What are your plans for what people can expect from you every week during the season at Arrowhead Pride?
Well, starting off the week, well, I guess by Thursday, there will be up a post about what the defense did, and I'm planning on charting and tabulating everything that I can possibly know about the defense. I'm hoping
Nerd.
Yeah, that's us, right? Got to be in the lab down there with the Bunsen burners.
Grinding tape.
But the hope is that as we go along through the season, we can say things like when Chris Jones is lined up as a wide nine with Breland Speaks as a stand-up five tech and the opposition runs at that B-gap, what sort of yardage they can gain or what sort of benefit they gain by doing those sorts of things. The same goes with the coverages. What coverages work well? Who works best out of what? And the hope is that we can just provide a bunch of raw data that's interesting that you can't get anywhere else. And then, before the game the next Sunday, the plan is to have an advanced scouting article where I write about what the Chiefs defense does versus what the opposition's offense does, maybe look at some matchups, some things that that offense did, and how it fits in with what the Chiefs have done.
Love it, man. I'm geeked out, and you've got at least one reader, so
awesome.
I'll definitely be tuning in whenever I can. I appreciate it, and I think we're going to jump in here in a second to doing a little bit of a mailbag. We'll bring Maddie back on right now. Well, we asked for some questions on Twitter a couple days ago for a mailbag. Didn't tell you that it was going to be for our first podcast, but
whoa,
that's what we're... Got him! So that's what we're going to do today. All those questions that we asked you guys for a couple days ago, not for an article. We're going to answer some of them right now. But first, Craig, Kendall Fuller smiled at you.
Kendall Fuller smiled directly at me. He was standing on the sidelines. He turned towards the stands, looked directly at me, and smiled. Definitely not at anybody else. It was directly at me. He's a very handsome man. I was very happy to receive the smile.
Were you giddy?
I think we need a witness.
I was. I have a witness. Matt was sitting beside me. Chief Bearcat happened to be there that Sunday. They can both attest to this. Kendall Fuller smiled at me.
Confirmed. Okay.
All right, we'll take it.
Let's jump into some questions real quick. At Keith McLean 78, he asks, "Hey guys, currently hyperventilating, a little worried. Coming to Arrowhead for the home opener, what can you tell me to give me hope for the first six games of the season?" Maddie, start us off.
First off, Keith, when you go to Q39, you do not order the fried chicken sandwich. That is your first thing you do. That'll help the hyperventilating. I know, don't listen to Kent.
Come on
the chicken
now.
Secondly, with the first six games, I mean, it's a rough six games. I'm going to give you that. But I think we have to hang our hat on the fact that we haven't seen anything yet. We've had a quarterback tell us we've seen a fourth of the offense. We've had one of our best defensive players tell us we've barely seen anything. I mean, Andy Reid's notorious for not really showing much during the preseason. Remember last year going into New England, we just came out with all sorts of stuff that no one was ready for. I kind of expect to see a little bit of the same, and I think you're going to get that on the defensive side too. Like, kick it over to Craig, but I mean, I feel like he thinks there's going to be a little more press coverage, and I'm thinking we're all hoping so.
Oh, that's definitely going to be the case. Bob is going to come out. He's going to press across the board. Last year, he tried to press a little more than everybody assumed that he did. There was one guy on the roster that didn't really press, but the rest of the roster really performed within the scheme. They just weren't particularly good. They overhauled the entire defense this year. There's two of 11 guys that came back from the end of that playoff game. So there's hope just from the point of change here. Plus, Bob owns the AFC West, so we're going to start off well here, I think.
I agree with both of you. I'm kind of geeked out just to see what Andy Reid has dialed up for week one. Because, like, you know, everything was so surprising and fresh and new against New England, to your point, Matt. Like, it was completely different. And, like, a lot of it was just very surprising. I just can't wait to see what the next step towards, you know, what Mahomes is going to be doing is. I can't wait.
Right. Nope. Counterpoint. Okay. Nope. We're slipping in here real quick. First six games. That's what Keith said he's worried about. So here's our first six games, and I want you guys to tell me the record for these six games. At the Chargers, at the Steelers, home against the Jimmy G's, the 49ers, at the Broncos, Jaguars at home, and then on the road in New England. What's the Chiefs' record for those six games?
Oh, man. 3-3.
I'm going 4-2. I think they beat the Steelers week two. They're taking down the Steelers, getting that monkey off their back this year.
Okay. Maybe, I mean, is Lev Bell the factor there, not playing potentially, or?
No, not exactly. And we'll hit it in the question coming up here. I see another question. Yeah.
Okay. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
Okay, at the Wild Chief asks, you think the Chiefs only keeping five cornerbacks on the 53-man roster could mean that the trade for Lucas could essentially be more of a hybrid safety corner role? Or possibly another move is coming to add another corner? Don't know how comfortable I am with five corners. Craig, go for it.
You know, I'm not comfortable with five corners either. Our boy Arian Springs not making the roster. That hurts me. But
pour one out for Arian Springs.
Pour one out for Arian Springs. I got a beer right here. I'll pour one out into my mouth. But I think the Chiefs expect Jordan Lucas to be like a hybrid safety like they have for the rest of their roster. Ron Parker's a hybrid safety. Eric Murray's a hybrid safety. Eric Berry is the epitome of a hybrid safety. I wrote an article this week about Bob Sutton's safety versatility and how he asks guys to play a deep safety role, a hook defender, and an apex sort of slot safety against tight ends. He asks them to do a little bit of everything, so I'm not sure if they're not just expecting Lucas to fit into that same role.
Maddie?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Craig kind of took all the words right out of my mouth that I've been preaching the last couple of years. I mean, it's kind of the big thing on why I was unsure about the whole Trey Boston signing when everybody wanted to. Just some safeties, no matter how good they are at one specific thing, don't really fit what the Chiefs have been looking for. And so when we're talking about a hybrid safety corner, if you're playing for the Chiefs, you got to be a hybrid safety of some kind. And so we've had Eric Murray in the nickel DB role for a while. Ron Parker's played it. Every safety on the team is going to be down there a little bit. So five corners isn't ideal, but when you consider the fact that one of the slot corners is going to almost always be a safety with Bob Sutton, it's not as bad as it would look on a team that uses four true CBs on any given play.
If Craig didn't plug his article about the safety versatility, I definitely was going to. At Killer B's dad asks, just now getting to watch the preseason week four game, how did Chase Amoro not make the team? Maddie, go. I
unsure who to kick it to. That's okay. Amoro looked good. The fourth preseason game. I mean, he certainly wasn't bad. The problem is he's kind of billed as this special receiving tight end that's a great athlete. But when he got to the NFL, he's not really a great athlete. He's just a good one. And at that point in time, what else does he bring if he can't beat, you know, athletic safeties and these athletic linebackers that are all across the league right now? And then in addition to that, Ellis looks like he can block quite a bit better. And that's just kind of a better third tight end to have, because we already know that Harris is kind of a lock for the second tight end spot. He shows that high ceiling even with the inconsistency. So they're just kind of looking for a more well-rounded third tight end is what it appears to me.
And see, Matt's dead on here. He's our tight end experts. I mean, he used to be named Kelsey's Crazies on Arrowhead Pride. He knows tight ends. That's exactly what it is. Ellis is a better blocker. He flashed a little more. He's routinely been above him on the depth chart. I think he offers more as a player.
I think he's better in contested areas, too. Like, I think he's good in tight windows. Like, he had strong hands a couple times I saw. Like, I think he can catch in a very contested space, and he can withstand a hit, too. I like both those takes. At Doug's Bunny OG, which is a fantastic Twitter handle name, does it seem like a lot of Brett Veach's offseason plan has been to build a defense that specifically counters a team like Pittsburgh, especially if Bell holds out? Do we force them to beat us with the run, Craig?
Well, this is what I was talking about earlier. I'm not sure exactly if Le'Veon Bell makes a giant difference, because as we were discussing a little bit earlier today, the Steelers are a really good run blocking team. However, the Chiefs have gutted their front seven. They have a lot of guys out there that they are planning to use against these more physical teams like Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. Brett Veach said it earlier this week, said that they expect Breland Speaks to play as an edge because he is such a good edge setter against the run. That's what he does best. I mean, that's his contribution this year should be against the run. That's a perfect game for him to just sit on the edge and keep everything funneled back to the good linebackers. I think they're built to do it this year. Matt?
Yeah, and it's clearly what they were going for this offseason. They got a bunch of great run defenders that are physical at the point of attack. I mean, even Dorian O'Daniel, for an undersized guy, was really good against the run in college. So That was a big goal going into the season, and I think they did it. However, when you look back at the Pittsburgh games, like, we've kind of invited the Steelers to run against us. I don't think we're going to go out of our way to go get after them and stop them from running the ball. It's just a matter of, we're going to try to stop Ben from beating us over the top, keep bringing the run in, especially if Le'Veon Bell's not there, and allow our superior players compared to last year's, especially in the nickel packages, to make plays more often than they did in the past.
It did seem like they kind of ran against even boxes whenever they played Pittsburgh the last couple of years. So I'm really worried about, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown too. Like, those guys, they're terrifying.
Especially seeing some of our tackling in the secondary, because both those guys can take anything to the house if you give them even a chance. So that's the scary part.
I just keep coming back to, we were Philip Gaines swatting a pass away at the end of the Pittsburgh game last year from winning that thing. I'm telling you.
We don't speak of him.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point, man. At PJ Castleman asks, how confident should we be when the man with the plan, Brett Veach, makes a lot of changes the last week leading up to the season opener?
Craig? So, go ahead, Greg.
Well,
Or Matt, I don't know. Just someone go.
I'll take it to start on this one. Matt can have the last two. It's a little concerning. I mean, they obviously evaluated their entire situation during the preseason, and they came out lacking with some of the changes that they made. You know, they moved on from Amerson. Robert Golden was a guy that they brought in that they expected to be a special teams contributor and a depth safety. He was gone earlier this preseason. I think that a lot of the swings that they took ended up being misses, especially in the secondary this preseason. So I think they needed to make moves, but it's definitely not comforting.
Yeah, I agree with that. And kind of the big thing that I keep coming back to is, and even if it's a move that I'm not a personal huge fan of based on what I've seen, it's still, we're mostly just turning over depth guys on the roster. We haven't really, besides Ron Parker, brought in anybody that we expect to see significant playing time, especially right away. So you want to see your own homegrown young guys kind of stick to the roster and start to develop. But if you're trading out bottom of the roster guys for other teams' bottom of the roster guys based on what you've seen, it's a little less worrisome than if you're trying to bring in starters right at the last second.
So I'm kind of excited to see what Brett Veach has done with the bottom of the roster, because I think what he's done in the practice squad too, the guys that they've been able to get through to the practice squad, they've got a lot of young kind of like options for the future,
the
potentially
that practice they could, squad. They are awesome.
I love that practice squad so much. And not because I wrote about half of it, just genuinely, like, I'm very intrigued by a lot of the guys they have in that group. And I really like the construction of, like, not just 2018, but they moved on from guys like Brian Witzman and Frank Zombo. They finally cut bait with some old guys and brought in guys that they can have under club control next year. That could be so huge for their depth next year that they're not having to scramble to get a bunch of guys, signed. So I'm really optimistic about what they did at the bottom of the roster, and even guys like Charvarius Ward, I'm kind of intrigued by. At CMoose7 asks, why did Ukeem Oligwe get cut instead of Terrence Smith? Matthew?
Okay, we're gonna take a step back, take a deep breath here, and just be calm about this. Terrence Smith made the team for his ability on the special teams unit. Nothing to do with playing defense, clearly. It's just about the fact that Tobe lost some other special teams guys he was a big fan of, and Jehu Chesson, Frank Zombo. So he needed to get somebody. I feel like this was a definite Tobe power play. Because now, the one concern I have is Terrence Smith and Ben Neiman and Dorian O'Daniel are all relatively light, and those guys are kind of making up your backup strong inside linebacker. I know they've kind of moved Neiman over to that spot, but he still weighs 230-ish pounds. We kind of got rid of Oligwe, who was the only other bigger linebacker that we had. So that part's a little bit of a worry, but outside that, it's just a Tobe special.
And just to kind of piggyback on that, Reggie Ragland today, when the depth or the injury report came out, was listed as a full participant, but was listed with his knee injury. So that's not something that we need to just kind of ignore as, oh, it was a thing that happened in the preseason. It's obviously lingering. And if right now they are counting on some of these lighter guys to play strong inside linebacker, that's going to have to shift the way that they kind of have their scheme a little bit if they don't have a big thumper type in there.
Hashtag Neiman season. One more thing before we get out of there, Kent.
I got one more for you.
Okay.
Oligwe, was he not our kind of emergency edge rusher now that we got rid of Zombo? So at this point in time, we have three and a half edge rushers with Breland Speaks kind of being that stand-up five tech. Like, is that not a concern for anybody else? I feel like that's been glossed over.
He played edge week 17 when they didn't have enough edge rushers to play at the bottom of their roster.
He did. I guess you hope that somebody can move outside. I mean, the defensive line is not very small either. Chris Jones is really the only guy that you could probably stick out there on the edge, even with his hand in the dirt, and expect that he have any sort of success. So you'd think that they'd have to make a move if Justin Houston or Dee Ford wasn't good to go for even a couple weeks.
Right.
I think Daryl Williams has got it.
he could do anything.
Last question at Kyle Sterling. What are some honest to God realistic expectations for the team this year, Matthew?
We're just going to keep this short and sweet here. Nobody else in the AFC West can beat the Chiefs, especially twice. We kind of own the AFC West, and until they prove that otherwise, I see no reason not to expect the Chiefs to be 5-1 within the division, and that's just a huge lead up on everything else. So barring a complete meltdown or obviously a bad injury, I just don't see a way that a team is just going to go out and win 12 games with losing to the Chiefs at least once and take the division away from them. So, yes, they can win the division. We're looking right around that 10-11 win range.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Bob Sutton and Andy know how to win in the AFC West. The Broncos aren't really threatening to me. The Raiders might not make it through the season without having to go into a nursing home. And the Chargers are really the only team that you need to be worried about. And they're always a paper champion. They never can quite put it together. So realistically, the Chiefs should win the division until somebody comes along, like Matt says, and proves us otherwise. So, yeah, I say 10-6.
Paper champion. I love it. I'm going to go 9 wins, and it might be enough to sneak into the playoffs. And I think at that point, Pat Mahomes will have enough reps under his belt that he could go out and do something pretty special. I think it's going to be a little bit rough early, and he'll figure some things out. But, man, at the end of this season, he could be everything that I've wanted my entire existence. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Maddie, Craig, you guys got anything else?
One quick thing here. We got the AP Fantasy Football Squad, and we need a vote from our fans. Who has the better name, Chia Pat or Kent's Hairpiece? You can let us know on Twitter. I need votes. Kent's Hairpiece clearly is the winner, but that's just me being unbiased.
Clearly. Yeah, clearly. I would vote for Kent's Hairpiece as well.
Of course you would. Well, that's it for us. Week 1, episode 1 of this show. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you with an analysis of what we saw in the Chargers game and looking ahead to Pittsburgh next week. Catch you later.